Chapter 17. Neil didn't have to make the next move in his plan to bring the two halves of the foxes together, because Kevin ended up texting him to extend an invitation to a Halloween party at Eden's Twilight. He wasn't surprised. He thought after the game that Kevin might fulfill Renee's premonition. He could still feel the imprint of Kevin's grip on his shoulder. Neil's immediate reaction was to send back, "If the others can come." "I think you already know the answer," Kevin replied. Neil rolled his eyes. "Then no. I'm not going to ask him that." Feeling bold, Neil rang him rather than reply. Kevin answered straight after the first ring with a brisk, "Neil." "Put him on the phone then," Neil said. "What?" "If you're that sure Andrew will say no to you, I'll ask him myself. Put him on the phone." Kevin huffed, and then there was the sound of scuffling and the mutter of voices. Kevin's, and then Nikki's distinctive yelp. "Hello, Neil," Andrew said after a moment. His smile was audible. "Are you coming to Columbia again?" "Only if I can bring the others," Neil replied. "The upperclassmen won't want to come," Andrew said. There was a screech of plastic on metal on his end of the line that made Neil wince. "Once was probably enough for them." "What are you talking about?" "Why don't you ask them?" "I will," Neil replied. "I'm just interested in hearing your perspective." Andrew laughed delightedly. "Oh, no, I don't think you are. I think you can appeal to my better nature by pretending to care about my opinion. Joke's on you. I don't have a better nature, and the only way our stories will differ is if they lie to you." "You think that's why I asked?" Neil said with a shrug Andrew couldn't see. There was something in Andrew's voice under the laugh, though it took Neil a moment to sort through what it was he was hearing. "I know you aren't a liar." "Ask them. Then tell them to come, if they're brave enough," Andrew said, and hung up on him. It was unsurprising. Andrew wasn't the type to tell other people's secrets. Neil doubted that the others would lie to him anyway, but there was something reassuring about Andrew's steadfast honesty, even when it got ugly. Neil, who was lying on the floor at the feet of the upperclassmen on a pile of cushions and a quilt off of Renee's bed, looked up at the girls in their neat row of three on the couch. "You guys want to go to a party on the 27th? They looked at him uncomprehendingly for a moment before Matt said, "Where?" "Eden's Twilight in Columbia. It'll mean going with Andrew's lot, though." "What?" Dan asked, gobsmacked. "Did they invite you? Is that what that was about?" "Not like it's my usual scene, is it?" Neil replied. Matt chuckled from where he was sitting perpendicular to Neil, with his back against the arm of the couch. "So Andrew said we could come?" Dan asked, leaning forward to see Neil better. "Partying with the monsters sounds dangerous," Allison mused. Renee was in the process of braiding her hair into an intricate design and hummed in vague disapproval when Allison turned enough to look at Neil from the corner of her eye. "Let's do it." Dan shot her a look. "You're only saying that because you haven't done it before." "Hell yeah, I am. I'm curious." Neil's phone buzzed again, and he made a face as he read the message. "Apparently we need costumes, too." That sealed it for Allison, but Dan still looked unsure. Matt turned his head up on an awkward angle so he could see Dan's face above him. "If you're thinking of saying no on my account, don't bother," he said gently, bumping her knee with his shoulder. "You know that what they get up to doesn't worry me." Neil leaned up on his elbows so he could look at Matt properly. "He did imply that you guys would be the ones less inclined to agree. What did he mean?" "I know you've seen these," Matt said, twisting one arm so Neil could see the track marks there. Neil nodded. They were impossible to miss, even if you didn't know what you were looking at, and Matt made no effort to cover them. "My father got me into all the shit that rich fuck-ups were doing. Mom put me through rehab before I signed with the Foxes, but I had a rough time of it at first. A bunch of the guys on the team at the time were using, and it was one hell of a temptation being surrounded by that." "He slept on our couch for weeks," Allison volunteered, without looking up from her phone. "It was pathetic." Dan glared at her, but Matt just smiled. "Yeah, it was. Anyway, I wasn't the only one who was barely staying clean. Apparently Aaron didn't have as good of a hold on his sobriety as Andrew would have liked, so Andrew stepped in. Andrew had mentioned that about Aaron, Neil remembered now. She beat him and got him hooked on drugs. He says I ruined his life, like she hadn't already done that for him. What did he do exactly? Gave him speedballs, Dan said, her voice full of old anger. Neil was intimately familiar with Andrew's way of approaching things, so he wasn't surprised. It still made his stomach drop, though. That was a hell of a lot harder than cracker dust. He offered, Matt corrected. He knew I wouldn't be able to say no. I don't want to downplay that, but it must have worked for you to be here now, Neil commented. You would say that. I mean, at least I didn't let him beat me up in the hope of curing my issues, Matt replied, though he looked amused. Let's just say that it certainly strengthened my resolve. I've been clean ever since. And hey, I got lucky to have someone to stick with me through it. He turned and kissed Dan's bare knee lightly, jostling her again to try and shake away her expression. She said, it was overkill and dangerous. He would have been dropped off the team so fast his head would have spun if Matt's mom hadn't given him permission. That was a little mind-bending. Neil couldn't imagine a woman who would allow that to be done to her recovering addict of a son, even if she really thought it would work. He also couldn't imagine someone who would agree to let Andrew Minyard try. Can't argue with the results, Matt said lightly. It sounded like a conversation they'd had before plenty of times. He knew that Matt would recover. There was too much effort to put in for it to backfire. And I think it was hard for Andrew, too, in his own way, Renee said quietly. He doesn't have a choice about his addiction. He can't fight it. I don't care, Dan huffed, which was mostly a lie. Dan might not have liked Andrew, but that didn't mean she didn't care about his welfare. He was a fox, too. We should go, Matt said. I mean, how many opportunities do we really get to socialize with the monsters? Dan turned to give Neil a long look. Is it a good idea? With you and Andrew, I mean. What about me and Andrew? I was under the impression that you two were on the brink of killing one another. Neil shrugged. He agreed to let me work on bringing the others around. All four of them stared at him again. Dan's mouth was slightly agape. She asked, how did you make him agree? I asked him, Neil replied. Renee smiled, though she shielded it from the others behind Allison's shoulder. They didn't get to quiz him anymore because they were interrupted by a sharp and official-sounding knock at the door. Neil jolted upright in surprise. They weren't expecting any visitors, and the other athletes in the tower usually stayed away from the volatile Exe line wherever possible. Dan scrambled up to get it. She only half opened the door at first to shield the inside of the room from view, so all Neil saw were a pair of boots behind Dan's socked feet. You the Exe captain? Whoever it was asked. Yeah, Dan replied, her voice bristling with suspicion. Can I help you? I hope so. I'm Detective Phil Higgins, and I'm hoping to have a chat with Andrew. Can you point me in the right direction? Mixed feelings for Andrew aside, Dan was already on the offensive. A chat about what? I'm afraid I can't say. It's tied up in an active investigation. Not yet it isn't, Neil said, before he thought about it. Otherwise this would be an official visit, and it's not. Dan swung the door a little wider, so that Neil could see out and Higgins could see in. Higgins looked like a cop down to the casual lean of his body in the doorway, hands shoved in his pockets. He eyed Neil from top to toe, and then smirked. You a lawyer? Do I look like a lawyer to you? Dan shot him a quelling look, but said, he does have a point. I'm from Oakland PD, so this isn't my jurisdiction. I need Andrew's help. That's why I'm here, Higgins replied. He isn't on campus right now, Renee said. I'll wait, Higgins answered immediately. That was fair. It was a long way from California to here. There wasn't much point making the trip just to be turned away on their doorstep. Maybe grab a coffee at the library cafe, Dan recommended. Here, give me your number and I'll let you know when they're on the way back. It's fine, Dan, Neil cut in, climbing off the floor. I'll go and show them the way. One of them will let me know when they're on the way. Higgins nodded like that was okay, but his gaze wasn't quite so nonchalant. He was obviously intelligent enough to know that Neil was volunteering out of more than just genuine goodwill. Allison stretched out her leg to prod the back of Neil's calf with her toe as he shuffled past her. "Make sure you don't stick your nose somewhere, it'll get cut off," she recommended. Neil made a face at her as he shoved his feet into his shoes. Outside, it was cool enough that Neil was glad for his hoodie. They headed towards the library cafe, making polite small talk about the campus and Neil's classes. Neil sent Kevin another text asking him to tell him when they were on the way back to campus, and got a short affirmative answer. Higgins paid for both of their drinks and led them to a small table out of the way of the main traffic so they could sit down. "If you're trying to find out information about your teammate, I'm afraid I can't help you," Higgins said, once they'd both settled, straight to the point. "Actually, information isn't what I'm looking for. I know you're investigating someone by the name of Spear." Higgins frowned thoughtfully. "Did Andrew tell you that?" "In a manner of speaking," Neil replied, "because saying, 'We fought over it, and then I put the pieces together,' didn't sound that great." "I don't know much. My main concern is that this person you're not officially investigating is still wandering around just waiting to make problems." "Problems for who, exactly? You?" "Something like that. Do you believe in coincidences?"
"Not particularly."
"Me neither. Do you know much about Exy?"
"Only about the foxes. Is that related to coincidences?"
"I'm getting there. If you know about the foxes, then you probably know that all of us come from unconventional childhoods. I've got reason to believe that someone I know would quite like to reconnect Andrew and whoever this Spear is."
"Unconventional is a nice way of putting it," Higgins said.
"I know Aaron and Andrew, remember? So what's the reason? And who is the someone?"
"I can't tell you that."
The Moriyamas would have Phil Higgins face down in a ditch somewhere before he could even start asking the interesting questions.
"Even if it would put Spear behind bars?"
"You'd be in so far over your head you would drown before you realized you were breathing water."
"Well, it's someone you know, and you're still afloat."
"You and I are nothing alike," Neil said, which was the absolute truth. No one had ever described Neil as honorable, for a start. Higgins smiled faintly.
"Oh, I don't know. I think we're both trying to protect the same person."
"That's not," Neil said, and then stopped. He supposed that Higgins was right, in essence. Neil wouldn't have worded it like that. His stake in this was keeping Rico from hurting anyone else. Andrew was the one who dealt in protection, not Neil.
"Are you?"
Higgins sat back, his face thoughtful.
"Well, I'm trying to protect a bunch of children. But I do care about Andrew's safety, especially if you're right."
Neil's brain was making connections faster than he could keep up with. Andrew and Aaron, more than one child, Andrew as a foster child himself, and coming up with all sorts of answers. They were all ugly, but that wasn't a surprise. "You want Andrew to give evidence against a fosterer, and you thought I might be involved with someone trying to reconnect Andrew with a suspected abuser," Higgins said, because he was clearly making his own realizations as Neil did.
"You're pretty ballsy, then. You go on coffee dates with everyone you want to quiz about their intentions?"
"Is it a date because you bought my drink? Because you're a little old for me," Neil deadpanned. "I think of it as expediency on my part. I'm a fan of dealing with things before they become a problem."
"That's what I'm here to try and do," Higgins replied.
"Then I'll stay out of your way," Neil said. His phone buzzed in his pocket. Kevin, letting him know that they were in the car coming back.
"That's your cue. You realize that I'm going to tell Andrew exactly what you've said to me," Higgins said, tapping the table with his index finger.
Neil smiled. It wasn't that Neil distrusted Andrew's assessment of Higgins. People changed, though, and they changed quicker when there was money on offer. Rico Moriyama had a lot of money at his disposal.
"I figured. He said you're an honorable cop."
"You make that sound like an oxymoron."
"It is, in my experience."
There had been plenty of corruption in the force in Baltimore. Neil had sat next to kids his age when Neil's father invited their cop parents for dinner.
"First time for everything?" I guess we'll see. Neil stood, scuffing his chair back in. I'll walk you back. They arrived back at the tower just as Andrew's car pulled in. Aaron was out first and started across the lot without waiting for the others. He saw Neil and his dark expression got even darker. Evidently, he wasn't pleased about Neil's request for Halloween. When he caught sight of Higgins, though, he stopped dead. What the fuck do you want? He snapped, his fists clenched at his sides. Just to talk, Higgins replied. Hello, Andrew. Andrew, who had come up behind Aaron, was grinning. His gaze darted from Higgins to Neil and back. Hello, Pig Higgins. Didn't I tell you I'd kill you if you didn't leave me alone? You told me you would kill me if I called you again. That's why I've come all the way out here to see you in person, Higgins said, smiling gently. Will you speak to me? They both watched as Andrew left the others frozen and walked up to the two of them. Once he was close enough, he said to Neil in rapid German, You are keen to invite yourself, aren't you? That's not what this is, Neil stumbled through, the words awkward on his tongue. I don't believe in coincidences either. Maybe I just didn't want another black eye. He was somewhat gratified to see Andrew struggle to catch up with that one. He had nearly put a fist through Neil's face weeks ago when Higgins had called, thinking that Neil was involved in whatever this mess was. It was a fair reason, even if it wasn't the real reason, but Neil would leave that to Higgins to explain how he liked. He would paint Neil in a more flattering light, but Andrew would probably see through that. Andrew looked back to Higgins. You are wasting my time. Not anymore, I'm not. You were right about Richard Spear. He was entertained by that. Oh, was I? Thank you for the confirmation. It got me thinking, though. You wouldn't have reacted unless there was something for me to find, Higgins said. So I've got a name for you, and all I need is a yes or a no. People like you are only satisfied with a yes or a no for a little while. You want so much more than that, and I don't want to give it to you, Andrew said, mock disappointed. So will you leave, or will I have to... Drake, Higgins interrupted. Andrew's reaction was enough of an answer. His gaze slid to Neil after a moment, and he said, Go away. He was a bomb just waiting for ignition, and Neil wasn't interested in being caught in the fallout. He turned immediately and headed in the direction of the tower. His path took him directly past the others. Come on, he said, and they fell in behind him in silence. They made it as far as the elevator before Nikki burst out with, Is that the cop? Do we have a problem? The look Aaron gave him could have peeled paint. When the fuck doesn't he have a problem? Nikki bristled. Hello, it's not like you don't know Higgins too. I met him once. I don't even know why he's here now. Andrew will take care of it, Kevin interjected, before they could really start to go at each other. He sounded certain. Neil hoped that he was right. Chapter 18. The trip to Sweetie's with the entire team was predictably uncomfortable. The upperclassmen and Nikki did admirably to make sure they weren't left sitting in complete silence. Aaron was still furious, and Andrew was Andrew, so it was almost a relief to reach Eden's Twilight, so they had the pounding music as a reason to avoid talking. They managed to collect enough seats for all of them, and Andrew immediately roped Kevin into getting drinks with him, while the girls and Matt went to do the same. That left Nikki, Aaron, and Neil alone in the crowd of stools. Aaron was consumed with his phone and ignoring them. As soon as the others were out of sight, Nikki leaned over with a curious expression. How the hell did you get him to agree to this? You were listening, Neil replied, because there was no way that Nikki wouldn't have listened to Andrew's side of the conversation. Yeah, but I don't know what you said. Was it blackmail? Extortion? Neil snorted. No, as if that would work on Andrew. Did he say how things went with Higgins? God, no. As if, Nikki scoffed. And I wasn't stupid enough to ask. I'm going to get it out of you one way or another, by the way. Allison and Renee appeared out of the crowd then, each with a drink in hand. Dan and Matt weren't far behind them. It was interesting to watch how Nikki flourished under their attention. He was desperate for the warmth that he never got from his own family. Kevin and Andrew came back to the table after a while, heavily laden. There was a second round for the upperclassmen on their tray, and Kevin dropped a can of soda in front of Neil as he sat across from him. Kevin started to say something in French, paused with a glance at Allison, and then went on in Japanese instead. "Are you happy now?" Neil made a face at him. "Ecstatic, aren't you?" "Why would I be?" "Well, you invited me, and here I am. Don't tell me you aren't pleased, or you might hurt my feelings." "I didn't think you would insist on having them here," Kevin said. "They're your team, too. We both know we're nothing without them," Neil reminded him. "Have another shot. It'll make you much more bearable." "You like them," Kevin said, a twist of jealousy on his tongue. That was an innate trait of his, but not one he had indulged in at Edgar Allan. Rico had a tendency to break what Kevin wanted if it didn't benefit him, so he had learned to keep his desires to himself. It annoyed Neil that he was so eager to resurrect the us and them mentality of Evermore with Andrew's lot when it did them no favors. It annoyed him more that Kevin still thought of Neil as his, in some respect. Not always a person, but a set of skills to be shaped. Kevin was jealous that Neil was reaching out for something more, or perhaps just his refusal to be shut in the box anymore. Kevin Day was a hypocrite, and it pissed Neil off. "Yes, I do," Neil confirmed, his voice sharp. "Don't pretend you have a problem with them personally. I know you don't, and I know you respect them on the court more than you make out. You made that pretty obvious to Rico when we played Edgar Allan. I suggest you make it clear to them, too." "I'm not here to offer encouragement when they fail," Kevin bit out. "You're here to win," Neil reminded him. "You need to rethink your strategy. These aren't ravens. Your bitching has got us this far, but it isn't enough." Kevin fell quiet for a moment, frowning. "Are we really nothing without them? You and I?" He meant, "We're good at this." And he wasn't necessarily wrong. But being good couldn't be enough for them. They needed to win. Neil had already made that promise to himself, and he was intent on seeing it through if he had to drag the others kicking and screaming. It was fortunate that the informed consent method was working for him so far, though. "It's a team sport day. You picked this team. I'm doing what I can to make it a functional one, but you need to meet me halfway." Kevin went quiet after that, sulky but thoughtful. Once Kevin procured crackers from his pocket, and they'd been split amongst the people who wanted them, the upperclassmen went off to dance and left the rest of them at the table. It was dead silent without their attempts at keeping the conversation alive. Even Nikki went quiet and concentrated on the diabolically colored contents in his glass. Neil wished that he had an interest in dancing as an excuse to leave. He focused on stacking the empties back on the tray, and once it was full, he stood to return it to the bar with a quick glance at the others. He wasn't as skilled with it as Nikki or Andrew, but he managed to get through without smashing anything. As he pushed it up on the bar, Neil caught the eye of the closest bartender and pointed to Andrew's table to signal who Neil was here for. The bartender gave an understanding nod as he took Neil's tray and started mixing drinks to refill it with. Neil watched the smooth, practiced motions of his hands. It was impressive that he didn't spill a drop, even though he was bouncing on his heels to the music. Most XE players were very coordinated, but Neil doubted anyone he knew could do that. As he put the first lot of shots on the tray, he caught Neil's eye and grinned. "You're Neil, right?" He leaned over the bar to speak into Neil's ear, rather than yell. His breath was hot on Neil's neck. "I saw you here last time with Andrew." "Yeah, you remember me?" Neil asked, puzzled. His memory was a little hazy, but he knew he'd stuck to the table all night. "I wouldn't forget a face like yours," he replied, inches away from Neil. Neil resisted the urge to touch the tattoo on his cheek. It made his face very distinctive. "I'm Roland. That lot doesn't usually bring the same person twice. You must be Hardy." "Something like that," Neil said. "Have you known them long?" "Oh, yeah. All three of them used to work here while they were still living in town," Roland replied. "It's always nice to see them back." "I don't know that I'd use the word nice," Neil quipped, before he thought about it, startling a laugh out of Roland. "You're funny, too," Roland said, almost pouting. Do you dye your hair, by the way? It's a pretty color. He reached out and tugged lightly at the overgrown curl that hung over Neil's forehead. Roland's uninvited touch was such a surprise that Neil didn't flinch, just blinked at Roland. No, he answered, voice flat. He wasn't sure what kind of person looked at him, bladed to the touch all over, and wanted to put their fingers on him so casually. He equally wasn't sure that he liked it. Drink for the road? Roland asked, taking out two glasses. Neil's hand shot out and covered them right before Roland could pour. I don't drink, he said sharply, and then, sorry. Roland, we're getting sick of waiting while you chat, Nikki said, suddenly inserting himself at the bar in the 2 inches of space at Neil's side. Neil had to grab Nikki's upper arm so he wasn't shoved into the girl leaning on his right. What, did Andrew send you? Roland asked, his smile shifting into a smirk. He's been watching. Neil threw a glance over his shoulder at the table, and true to his word, Andrew was looking at them across the writhing crowd. His expression was still as stone. I didn't realize he was so impatient, Neil commented, looking away before their eyes could meet. There was something uncomfortable about knowing Andrew had been watching him and Roland talk, but he couldn't put his finger on what. Protective is the word you're looking for, Nikki corrected, more to Roland than to Neil. We made an executive decision that Neil isn't allowed to accept drinks from strangers. He has a bit of a problem with getting roofied. I think it's possessive, actually, Roland said. He pulled out a soda and put it on the tray unopened, with an apologetic smile for Neil. It turned to a grin again moments later. Neil looked between the two of them. I have no idea what you're talking about, he said. That's fine, Roland chirped. Here, look, your drinks are done. Toddle off now and drink up. You're hilarious, Nikki informed him, picking up their tray. Here, Neil, make a path for me. Neil did so, wending his way between drunken dancers. He resisted the urge to push people aside when they crushed against him, their heat making sweat roll down the small of his back. Kevin had disappeared, leaving Aaron and Andrew alone with their matching bored faces. Nikki put the tray down and let Andrew sort through the glasses as he liked, while Neil collapsed back onto his stool with his soda. It was cool and sweet in his throat. He felt dehydrated just from proximity to so much alcohol. After a moment, Nikki leant over the table, smelling like whatever hideous sweet concoction he'd been drinking. So, Roland? Aaron groaned and dropped off his stool. Jesus, I'm out. It was the first time he had spoken all evening. What about him? Neil asked, watching Aaron skirt the tables and head towards the thrashing mass of dancers. He thinks you're cute, Nikki answered. Neil blinked at him. Oh, you're so oblivious. He's really sweet. He'd treat you right. And he's super hot, too. What? Neil stuttered. Nikki, Andrew said, a clear warning. Nikki shot him a look and shrugged. It was weird, Andrew, he said, sipping at his drink. Like, he took Allison to the banquet and didn't make out with her, and now Roland's blatantly hitting on him and he doesn't even twitch an eyelid. It's weird. I told you I don't swing, Neil reminded him. Yeah, I used to tell myself that after I nailed myself in the closet too, Nikki replied. Neil tilted his head, trying to imagine it. Whatever else you could say about Nikki, he was obviously true to himself in all the ways that mattered. When was that? My parents are super religious, Nikki said. Like, super crazy militant religious. When I first came out to them, my mom cried, and my dad said that I was condemning myself to an eternity in hell. I was 16. Neil hadn't been raised with religion, and his tutors at Edgar Allan hadn't bothered with teaching him much about it either. Talking to Renee had taught him a little, but her belief system didn't seem to have much room for saying something like that to your own child. He preferred her love and forgiveness type of worship, if he had to choose. They thought if they sent me to a facility, somehow I would pray the gay away, Nikki said. That doesn't sound very effective. It wasn't, Nikki said, with the thin edge of a smile, gesturing at himself. I thought, maybe, for a while. It's pretty convincing, all those reasons to hate yourself. I'm just lucky that I got to go to Germany and meet the love of my life. Nikki chattered incessantly about Eric, so Neil felt familiar with him, despite never having met him. He was more interested in the dark tone Nikki's voice had taken on for a second when he talked about hating himself. It reminded him of Jean. Neil could see himself there, as well. The two of them were opposites, but apparently Nikki knew what it was like to be caged, too. Nikki was the lighthearted comedian of the team, so he'd missed that trait until right now. Here was the thing eating at Nikki underneath the facade. "Anyway, I'm too drunk to remember where I was going with this," Nikki rallied after a second. "Love yourself. And love a man, obviously." Neil rolled his eyes. "Thanks, Nikki, but I'm still not interested." "Neil is only interested in Exy," Andrew commented, without looking away from whatever he was fixated on in the dark across the room. Neil had almost forgotten that he was there. When he looked in the same direction, he realized that Kevin and Matt were leaning up against the far wall next to one another, turned like they were speaking. No room in his heart for anything else. Nikki frowned hard enough to wrinkle his brow. "Exy's never gonna love you back, though, Neil." "That's fine," Neil said with a shrug. He was saved from Nikki's imminent moaning by Renee, who appeared to sweet-talk him into dancing with her, her sequined cape glittering under the lights. It was nice to not be the only one sticking their hand over the divide and waiting to see if they'd lose it. They disappeared into the crowd hand in hand, though not before Renee shot Neil a small smile. That left the two of them. When Neil looked at Andrew out of the corner of his eye, he was running his finger around the rim of his glass and staring into the middle distance. He looked uninterested in and unsurprised by Nikki's defection. Neil said, "Your brother is going to be a problem for me." Andrew slowly tilted him a bored look. "I hope you aren't asking me for advice." "I'm not. The two of you don't even talk." Neil had noticed that early on, even if he hadn't known why. "I told you that he hates me." "I remember." He wouldn't forget that conversation anytime soon, or the expression on Andrew's face as he stated point blank that he had killed their mother. "You said you did it because of him. That didn't change his opinion at all?" Andrew didn't answer, sipping from the closest glass. He had drunk more than Neil could feasibly imagine, but he seemed exactly the same as he had the last time they'd been in Columbia together. Neil frowned. "Does he know that's why?" "He knows. That's the wrong question, though, don't you think?" "What's the right question?" Neil asked, and then thought, "Misunderstanding." That wouldn't be Aaron's word, because Neil didn't think Aaron had the ability to affect Andrew so profoundly. Andrew had the same tone as he'd spoken with when he'd warned Neil against using it, though. "Oh, he didn't believe you." Andrew hummed. "Why do you care again?" "I'm trying to figure him out, but you already know that." "I think you're still trying to figure me out." "I'm already done doing that, which is why you hate me so much," Neil said. "That, and the fact that I'm succeeding." Andrew's expression was unchanged, but Neil knew he was right even without the reaction. Andrew wasn't the indecipherable code the others made him out to be, just like he wasn't the violent psychopath they insisted on calling him. There wasn't much to figure out when you could ask him and get a solid answer. "Higgins said such sweet things about you," he said. "So you must be a better liar than you seem." "I thought he might. He seems like the type who sees good in people." Neil shrugged. "Wasn't he your mentor?" "Something like that," Andrew replied. "You would do well to watch your step. You might get yourself in trouble one of these days." "Not today, though, right?" Neil asked, and took Andrew's silence as confirmation. He'd known in the parking lot that talking to Higgins wasn't going to be a problem, the same way he knew that this was a warning to not involve himself further. That was fine. He'd found out what he wanted to know already. "I still owe you one." "I remember," Andrew replied. "I'm just not cashing in yet." Chapter 19. 20 looked the same as 19, and the same as 18 before that. Andrew was by now well and truly used to the unvarying gray of his life, punctuated occasionally by pain. There was no point, he thought, in protesting the inevitable. However, He'd never had seconds counting down in his head like this. There was nothing to be done for it that didn't involve a good sharp knife. Andrew could only wait. He was never the type to act first, or at least not when it was only him at stake. Rushing usually betrayed him. He saw the proof of his patience every time he saw Aaron alive, and of his being rash every time he had to swallow another pill. Nikki's phone rang, obnoxiously bright and poppy. He and Aaron were playing one of their games, but Nikki bolted as soon as he saw who was calling. It didn't take a genius to figure out who it was on the other end. Nikki had Eric and he had friends, but he had never acted so squirrely about anything unless it had to do with his parents. Every time he talked about his family, he looked a little surprised that it still hurt. It was the hot pot he hadn't figured out how to let go of yet. He burned his fingers over and over. That was Nikki's secret. He had the same death grip as the rest of them, though he hid it with a quip and a smile. When he returned, he wore a pinched look, but his jaw was set. He walked towards the hall, then started back towards the kitchen, and then stopped and stood over the beanbag chair while trying to summon up his nerve. "The person who called," he started. "It was Mom." Aaron looked up, brow furrowed. "Maria doesn't talk to you." "She wanted to invite me to spend Thanksgiving with them." "You're not considering it," Aaron said, more derision than an actual question. Nikki flinched. "I have to. They're my family." He was wasting his breath. He couldn't have found himself an audience who cared less about family, especially the kind of family Luther and Maria were. "Will you have fun with that, then? When you get confirmation that they still hate you for not pretending to be straight, don't come crying to me," Aaron said.
"That's the thing," Nikki said, with an audible quiver in his voice. "The condition is that I have to bring you both with me."
Evasion was easy, then. Andrew said, "No." Aaron looked at Andrew for the first time in days. There was still vitriol in his gaze, but his question was meant for Nikki.
"Why do they want us there?"
"I presume she wants to see you," Nikki said helplessly. "You guys are family, too."
"I doubt they want to see Andrew," Aaron said, his lip curling. "Has she forgotten what happened last time?"
She didn't bring it up. I don't know," Nikki said.
"Well, they're people of God. Maybe they want to try waving their forgiveness wand over me again to see if that makes me all better."
"Third time might be the charm," Andrew said.
"You have my answer."
"Andrew," Nikki attempted.
"Please. You know how I feel about that word," Andrew warned. "I'm not interested in being involved in your pathetic quest to remind your parents they're meant to love you. The fact that them seeing you as conditional should be enough of a warning, by the way."
Nikki was getting progressively more hunched over, his shoulders curling like Andrew's truths were dead weight resting on his back.
"I'll go," Aaron said. "They aren't that bad."
He had no idea. Andrew's grin was turning into a curled lip of his own.
"Then you can enjoy that together."
Nikki was shaking his head. "They want to see Andrew." That was more upfront than Andrew had been expecting, but he was starting to think like Neil, all twists and turns and potential traps. There were probably plenty of reasons why they wanted to see Andrew, but he was paranoid through the teachings of a lifetime.
"If it's that important he's there, you can just call me Andrew," Aaron said.
He looked at Andrew as he said it, ensuring that Andrew knew it was a deliberate dig. Usually, it would have been a waste of his time and energy to respond. Today, Andrew heard, "I bet he isn't as sweet as you. Bet you two would look so good together." He wanted to laugh, or maybe wanted to hurt someone, or maybe he didn't care at all.
"You don't think your own aunt and uncle can tell the difference between us?" Andrew asked.
"Let's spare them your acting and your pathetic attempt at making me angry. They'd know you weren't me the second you walked into that house."
"I'll go," Aaron said, to Nikki this time. "If I have to smash something to convince them, I will. Maybe that would increase my enjoyment. It must do something for you, right, Andrew?"
Andrew thought for a second that Neil was lucky he wasn't in front of Andrew right now. He'd started this, and he wasn't keeping up his end of the bargain. Aaron had decided to test the stretch of his leash. Even if he didn't realize it, he had grabbed his end and was using it against Andrew like a choke collar. You don't know what you're doing, Andrew said, which was the absolute truth.
I'm being a good cousin, Aaron said, with a faux innocent shrug. Maybe you should try it sometime.
It wasn't a question of breaking any promises. None of this was. It was a matter of realizing which one was most important. Aaron, the one he'd made first, versus the only one he'd ever made to himself. They were as heavy as Fox Tower falling down on his head.
I won't spend Thanksgiving with them, Andrew said at last. You change the date and I'll be there. I won't play nice, though. You might want to warn them.
Andrew would happily break every window in that house just to see Luther Hemmick react. But he was patient. He would wait until Luther gave him a good reason. He probably wouldn't have to wait all that long.
I doubt either of them expect anything else from you, Aaron sneered, over Nikki's dawning amazement.
Andrew, Nikki started, which was all he managed before Andrew was out of the suite and slamming the door behind him. He would have liked to slam it a few more times just for the noise, but he restrained himself in favor of heading down the hall. He knocked once on the door of Neil's suite. Matt was the one who opened it. His expression changed to the usual expression of distrust at the sight of Andrew, rather than the one of virulent hatred he'd worn since Andrew's brawl with Neil. He still held the door firmly in one hand, like Andrew might try and shove his way past him, though.
We enjoyed the other night, he said, which was probably a gross overstatement of the facts. We should do it again sometime.
Andrew didn't say anything, even though he wanted to open his smiling mouth and say something vicious. He didn't have time for that. After a moment, Matt rolled his eyes.
Neil, he said over his shoulder.
There was a sound of rustling, and Neil's head appeared in the narrow gap between the doorway and Matt's arm.
Oh, he said. 1 second.
He moved out of sight and then reappeared, shoving his feet into his shoes and gesturing for Matt to let him past.
Keep watching without me.
There's only one of us who hasn't been exposed to this bastion of popular culture, and it isn't me, Matt said.
I'll wait.
Andrew led them up the stairs and onto the roof. It was windy on the ground today, and windier 4 stories up, enough to whistle through Andrew's hair and tug persistently at his clothes. Neil hopped up onto the edge of the building, his arms held slightly out from his sides. It looked even more precarious than it had the last time with his oversized t-shirt billowing and threatening to pull him off balance.
I'm going to push you off there, Andrew warned.
His fingers were itching again. Neil threw him a look over his shoulder, predictably exhilarated.
You can try.
He turned on his toe, though, and dropped back down.
What did you want?
Did Nikki tell you why his parents called? Andrew asked.
Neil looked thoughtful.
Yeah, did he ask?
Andrew was starting to hate that word.
He asked.
Did you say yes?
I don't know who you think you're helping now, Andrew said, instead of answering.
Maybe I think I'm helping you, Neil said, with a hint of a smile.
It wasn't a particularly nice one. I don't know your cousin that well, but I know that there are only so many times you can be disappointed by your family.
Does that wisdom come from personal experience?
Nah, my parents aren't really that kind of disappointing, Neil said.
Doesn't mean I don't understand it. It's been years, right?
He might think twice about signing himself up for another try if they let him down again, even if he does miss his mom.
Oh. Is that what sparked your sympathy? Maria Hemmick isn't much better than her husband, but at least she isn't dead, right?
I miss my mother, too, Neil admitted freely. Sorry if that's offensive to you, seeing as you hated yours, but I'd kill for a chance to see mine again if I could. So, yeah, maybe I sympathize with him a little.
So what did you tell him? Ask and you shall receive.
He wanted to know how I got you to agree to Eden's Twilight.
I told him I asked.
What he took from that is all him, not me.
I said you wouldn't agree anyway, so I guess he's more persuasive than I gave him credit for.
He was so oblivious it would make Andrew feel sick to his stomach, were he someone else.
He wasn't.
Neil tilted his head.
So you just decided to go out of the goodness of your heart?
I don't have any goodness in my heart, Andrew replied, pulling out his pack of cigarettes and lighting one. Neil waited for him to go on, but he didn't look perturbed when Andrew didn't.
Why?
He asked, after Andrew blew the smoke from his mouth.
It was blasted away by the wind almost immediately. He thought that was the key to unlock Andrew, but he wasn't right, and Andrew was happy to prove it.
No, he said instead. You're coming with us.
No, I'm not, Neil said.
I'm not interested in spending any more time with you and Aaron than I have to, and I definitely don't want to meet Nikki's parents.
I'm sure you don't, Andrea said. But you owe me one, right?
Neil reached out and filched Andrew's cigarette, closer to burning himself than he was to touching Andrew's fingers. He turned it over for a second, looking at it, and then flicked it away.
I admit, I didn't expect you to use it on something like this.
You didn't specify what I could and couldn't use it on, Andrew reminded him.
No, I didn't.
Fine, then. I guess I'm coming with you, Neil said.
I'm curious about why.
Is that a question?
Neil smiled again.
I'm just telling you. You don't seem like you're in an answering mood today. Anyway, I'll find out, right?
That was a good enough answer for Andrew. Even though it pained him to think of it in these terms, Neil was a proper backliner in the same way Andrew was a goalie. They were both the last line of defense. Andrew needed a shield in his free hand, and if his gut instinct was right, then Neil was the better one than most.
You'll tell me if there's going to be trouble, Neil asked, right?
If you haven't learned by now there's always going to be trouble, then I can't help you, Andrew replied.
Chapter 20. The Hemmicks' house was pale blue and picturesque, set in a manicured lawn and garden that whispered of the hours spent maintaining it. It wasn't a mansion, but it was nicer than Neil expected.
I thought you said your father was a minister, Neil said to Nikki.
He'd grown up with extravagance thanks to both his father's criminal endeavors and the luxuries the Ravens indulged in, but he never imagined a religious leader living in a home like this.
Yeah?
Nikki replied.
Why?
It's just their house. It's really nice, Neil attempted. Renee had talked about religion and money to Neil. She was an advocate for giving, both in terms of time and cash.
Oh, this is nothing. Welcome to Christianity, worshipping the god of capitalism since before televangelism, Nikki quipped.
He was gripping the steering wheel so hard his knuckles were white.
They pulled in behind a shiny black car that had Andrew leaning forward between the seats to get a closer look.
I think that one might look better without its windscreen, don't you?
No, Nikki said vehemently. Andrew couldn't get out without climbing over either Aaron or Neil, and neither of them would move until Nikki did. He seemed frozen in place, staring up at the house.
Maybe this was a bad idea, he said, a quiver in his voice.
Too late to decide that now, Kevin said.
He'd wanted desperately to go to the Exites while they were in Columbia during daylight hours, but Neil had put a stop to that. Andrew's patience was finite. Neil had squashed Kevin's bitter complaining about being dragged along, too. All it took was threatening to leave him behind by himself. All of that culminated with his foul mood, but none of them wanted to spare the energy to coax him out of it. His snappish comment did get through to Nikki. He blew out a breath and let himself out of the car. Nikki led the way through the white picket front gate towards the house, the rest of them together in a clump behind him. Neil stuck close to Kevin, feeling intensely like an outsider, even with Andrew and Aaron at his back. To be fair, the others probably didn't feel particularly welcome either. Nikki climbed up the front steps and rang the doorbell, and then retreated to stand with his cousins. It felt like a long time since Neil had seen them look like such a united force. Looks could be deceiving, of course. He knew Aaron was still angry with both him and Andrew, while Andrew had been unusually nasty this week. A tall woman who looked very much like Nikki opened the door. Her smile was tight and her eyes wary as she looked them over.
Why did you ring the doorbell?
It wasn't much of a greeting. Nikki said, because I don't live here anymore. Her smile slipped a little, even though Nikki's tone wasn't accusatory. Nikki had gone from fidgety to still at the sight of her, his expression somewhere between hopeful and resigned.
Aaron, Andrew, it's good to see you both, she said.
And you two must be Kevin and Neil.
I'm Maria.
She didn't seem to care much for who was who, the twins included. Kevin summoned up his media smile with a polite, "Yes, ma'am. Nice to meet you." It had the same effect it always did on middle-aged women.
She softened, her mouth relaxing.
Please, come in.
Nikki went first, and the rest of them followed. Neil only made it a step before he felt the lightest brush of Andrew's fingers against his shirt, so quick he could have imagined it. He didn't speak or look at Neil, so he must have found what he was looking for. Neil still wore a knife right where Andrew's fingers had barely touched.
Trouble?
Neil murmured, halting in place so Aaron had to step around him. That earned him a dirty look. Nikki looked nervous to be here, but not afraid, and Neil didn't think that Andrew would have agreed to this if the Hemmocks were that kind of problem.
Always, Andrew replied through his grin.
He pushed past Neil to go through the front door ahead of him. Maria closed it behind Neil, shutting out the cold air.
You can hang your coats here, she said, gesturing to the closet on her right.
Once they'd done so, she headed down the hall with a beckoning gesture for them to follow. Only one of them didn't follow immediately. Andrew had paused to stare at the closed front door. He looked amused, but Neil certainly couldn't see the joke.
What?
Neil asked, his voice low enough that it almost came out a hiss. Andrew hummed and rocked back on his heels so his sneakers squealed on the hardwood.
Now I know how you feel.
For the second time in as many minutes, he walked straight past Neil in the direction the others had gone. Neil was left to follow him, puzzled by what that was supposed to mean. Luther Hemmock was waiting for them in the kitchen. His ascetic face had lent its angles to Nikki's, but other similarities were sparse. Nikki had never in his life looked that stern or austere, though he was making an attempt now at forcing any emotion off of his face. It was painful to watch. Luther took a moment to look over the five of them while Maria went to the stove. Neil met his gaze when it was his turn to be examined. He was curious about a man who willingly sent his own son to a facility that carried out what was, at the very least, gross negligence of basic human rights. There were plenty of people on the internet who called it torture. Neil had done his research. He didn't want to come into this house disarmed after hearing Nikki's story. Andrew's strange behavior made the effort feel justified. Luther looked at Andrew for longer than seemed necessary, too. There was no way he knew that Andrew had engineered his sister's death, but he might have suspected. Neil didn't think it was that, though. Maybe he was interested to see if Andrew was any different than what he'd been like the last time they saw each other.
Nikki,
Aaron,
Andrew,
he said at last.
Hi, Uncle Luther,
Aaron said when it became clear that Nikki wouldn't be speaking anytime soon. This is Kevin Day and Neil Wozninski. There was no recognition on Luther's face at their names, which said as much about the degree of separation between Nikki and his parents as anything else. Nikki didn't shine next to players like Kevin and Neil, but he was easily good enough for the college scholarship he received and his place on the Fox lineup. That Luther wasn't even familiar enough with the sport to know Kevin's name was telling.
Welcome, he said with a forced smile. You may call me Luther.
He sent them out the back door and onto the porch where the table was already set. Andrew was seated between Kevin and Neil, out of reach of both Maria and Luther. Their hosts had to make three trips to get everything to the table. As soon as they were seated, they bowed their heads. It took Neil a moment to catch on and follow suit as Luther prayed over the meal. Andrew, of course, didn't bother. Neil couldn't put anything on his plate until either Andrew or Luther was finished serving themselves from the dishes closest to them, and his stillness drew attention.
Are you religious? Luther asked, fixing his gimlet gaze on Neil again.
No, Neil replied. He didn't bother to elaborate, which earned him a disapproving frown.
Why not?
It would have been easy to say that he wasn't raised to it, but the truth always got a more interesting reaction. I don't believe in any higher powers.
Luther blinked.
You don't believe in God?
I don't believe in God,
Neil confirmed. Andrew laughed, scraping a serving spoon across his plate so it screeched.
Neil doesn't like to bend a knee, he said. Not interested in the eternal love and forgiveness part either. Right, Neil?
Before Neil could either confirm or deny, Nikki interrupted. Is that really what you wanted to ask? Not, like, how we're doing, or about school, or how the season's going? We're going to spring championships, you know. They clearly didn't know, going by their blank faces. It wasn't the diversion Nikki was obviously hoping for, either. Luther was still half-focused on Neil.
You don't believe in forgiveness? He asked.
When it suits, Neil said with a shrug.
Andrew Stage whispered, Old Testament.
That's what has brought us here together today, though, Luther said. His focus abruptly transferred to the cousins, Neil forgotten. We want to commit to repairing this family. It will be a hard path to walk, but we think that forgiveness and reparations are the first step. Oh, no. I'm here because you wouldn't agree to see your only child if I didn't come, Andrew said, the fact a weapon in his hands. Maria and Luther both flinched. I was curious, too. Last time I saw you, you threatened me with a restraining order. Did you think better of it, or did you just lose your nerve? Andrew, Nikki interrupted. Neil wasn't sure why he bothered. Shush, Nikki, Andrew scolded. Didn't you want to know who's being forgiven and who's doing the forgiving? Andrew, I think we have all done things we need forgiveness for, Luther said. If it was an attempt at satisfying Andrew, it wasn't successful. He waved a hand like Luther was an annoying insect buzzing around him, nearly swatting Kevin. So what's your son's sin, Luther? He asked, leaning forward in his seat to make his point. Go on, say it out loud. Luther looked unwilling to answer that. Nikki said, If it's Eric, then I won't apologize. His voice was quiet, with a hard edge of hurt, but he looked his father in the eye as he spoke. I came back to the States for Aaron and Andrew, but I'll go back to Germany when I'm done here. I love Eric, and I always have. I thought when you invited us down here, you might finally understand that. It's wrong. We can't condone sin that way, Maria said, twisting the knife in Nikki's back. Despite his words, it was clear that Nikki had expected this from his father. In the same way, he'd obviously hoped for better from Maria. I'm not asking you to, Nikki said, but you're supposed to love the sinner even so. We follow the word of God, Luther said. It was as good as a no. Dad, please, Nikki said, before stopping himself and taking a deep breath. I can't live in a world that black and white, so if that's what you want from me, I'll go. He meant it, too. He was halfway through pushing his chair back to stand when Maria reached a hand out to him. Nicholas, she said, stay. We'll talk more after we've eaten. I made your favorite dessert. It was a pathetic offering, but it still stopped Nikki in his tracks. He looked at her for a moment and then pulled his seat back in. His gaze, when he turned it back on Luther, was bleak. It's been years. Apple pie isn't my favorite anymore. But thanks, he said, and picked up his fork without glancing at his mother at all. He missed her wince. Probably she'd never heard him speak with such a hard tone. Neil certainly hadn't. After a moment, Aaron said, When did you get the kitchen repainted? It broke the tension, weak though it was. Maria, looking relieved, answered, and Aaron kept the conversation going with questions about people Neil had never heard of. Nikki looked down at his plate with his fork held over it, but his appetite seemed to be gone. He prodded at it rather than eating. It took a while for him to join the conversation, with Aaron and Maria's light encouragement. Andrew took to eating again with a quiet air of satisfaction. He left the table wordlessly before the rest of them were done. Luther followed, and their voices as they spoke were just barely audible from the table. That didn't last. Unsurprisingly, Andrew's increased in volume as they argued. Neil strained to hear, but Maria was speaking louder in order to block out the sound. He gave up on listening, knowing that he'd probably hear it if Andrew tried to kill Luther. Luther came back before Andrew did, retaking his seat at the head of the table. He looked worn, which wasn't a surprise. Fighting with Andrew would give anyone a headache. The surprise was that Andrew didn't follow him back. On his medication, he had no ability to maintain anger, but he still wouldn't have missed his chance to keep needling Luther and Maria. By the time 5 minutes had passed, Neil had looked to the door and back several times. There was a chance that Andrew was smoking in front of the house. There was equally a chance that he was following through on his comment about Luther's windshield. Neil doubted he would have taken the car and left, though. The back of his neck was prickling. Neil hadn't lived this long by ignoring his instincts. Not when they screamed at him like this. He turned to Luther. What did you want to talk to Andrew about? His voice was soft, but it stopped the conversation dead. Luther looked affronted. I don't think that's any of your business. He made it mine. You wanted him here for a reason, didn't you? Neil paused. It wasn't that difficult to put it together. Suddenly Andrew's comment from before, "Now I know how you feel" made perfect sense. His heart was revving in his chest. Aaron and Nikki were looking at him, no understanding in their faces. Luther didn't speak, and his expression was unreadable, but Maria's wasn't. Neil was right. That was enough. Neil stood so quickly that his chair fell backwards and crashed down on the porch. The sound sent a jolt through the others like an electric shock, but Neil was already at the back door. There was nowhere Andrew could be downstairs, not where they wouldn't be able to hear. Kevin caught up with him halfway down the hall. "Neil, what the fuck? Stay down here," Neil snarled, turning to push Kevin back into Aaron so they clutched each other to avoid falling over. He knew why he was here. He'd known since Andrew had used his favor to ensure that Neil would come. He just hadn't known exactly what he would be here to fight. Andrew wouldn't have meant to bring Neil here to protect him, but he'd misjudged Neil before. He took the stairs as quickly and quietly as he could, hugging the wall. On the first floor, every door was open bar one. He didn't bother to try the handle. He took a step back and then slammed his heel in above it, smashing the lock. His momentum took him straight through the doorway, and the door nearly smacked him as it bounced off the wall. He darted out of the way, and it jammed closed, the hinges warped enough that it wedged in the frame. That slamming sound was familiar, like a falling guillotine. It was another trigger amongst a bombardment of them. Andrew blood spattered and pinned down, still struggling like a wild cat. Drake holding Andrew's wrists tight enough in one hand that they were white claws. The shout of surprise Drake made at Neil's entrance, a rough swear. Neil had been there. The only difference was that Rico mostly used his free hand for a blade, not for fumbling at his zipper. He gave up on that when he realized that it was a stranger interrupting him, and that Neil was frozen in place. He climbed off of the bed. Neil watched him do it without really comprehending what he was seeing. Drake was twice Neil's size, all muscle, and he filled the room when he stood upright. The immediate danger pulled him out of a shocked stupor, but not quick enough. He didn't have the reach to do much more than struggle when Drake pinned him to the wall by the throat. The force of his grip was crushing. "This one's pretty, AJ," he said, casting a glance over his shoulder where Andrew was trying, failing, to lever himself off the bed. He didn't even have time to turn back around before Neil jammed 5 inches of steel straight between his ribs and into his heart, and twisted. When Drake fell back, Neil held the knife long enough for it to pull free with a sucking noise, and then dropped it. He'd had it drilled into him over and over that a single stab wound killed, but not quickly. But he cared much more about getting to Andrew than he did about the way Drake was flopping around on the floor. Andrew had only succeeded in pushing himself halfway to upright, but his eyes were completely unfocused. Neil tried to say his name, and could only make a strangled sound through the terrible pain in his throat. They gripped fruitlessly at one another for a moment, until Neil finally managed to get him upright. The strength he used meant Andrew bumped into his chest, and they almost both went over backwards, pressed into the wall away from Drake's thrashing feet. When Neil finally managed to pry Andrew's brutally strong fingers off of him and separate them, Andrew had left blood smeared all over his chest and arms. "Jesus! Is that all mine?" Andrew asked, and then he started to laugh. Neil could feel himself start to react, the adrenaline abruptly giving way to the need to be sick. He swallowed, wrenching a sheet off of the bed and wrapping it around Andrew from his throat to the floor. "Come on," he ground out. "Andrew, come on!" It didn't stop the laughter. Worse, Drake was making noise. Not proper words, just desperate sounds. Neil looked down for long enough to see that he was grabbing at his chest, his fingers scrabbling for purchase. It sounded like he was begging. "Stop that, unless you want me to slit your throat, too," Neil said. He didn't recognize his own voice when it came out that cold. He wanted to do it. He would have, if he hadn't been the only thing keeping Andrew off of the floor. Outside, there was a yell, and then the door smashed open again. This time, the top hinge came free with the force of Aaron crashing into it, leaving the entire thing hanging. Aaron came to a screeching halt in the doorway with Kevin right behind him. His face went from furious to confused to so white that Neil thought he might faint as he looked from Andrew to Neil to Drake and back again. "Stay there," Neil warned them. There was blood spreading across the floor, and the cops would have a field day if they all ended up with shoe prints in here. His warning meant nothing to Aaron, though.
He was already halfway to Andrew's side. Kevin took one look into the room and ran back down the stairs, rattling the entire house. Andrew's laughter had cut off abruptly at the sight of his brother. As desperately as Aaron reached for him, he reached back, fighting with the sheet to get his hands free. "Andrew," Aaron said, his voice terrible with fear. His hands on Andrew's upper arms halted his struggling. "Did he touch you?" Andrew asked, intent wiping away his amusement. "He didn't, did he?"
No, Aaron said. "No, Andrew, I'm okay."
Drake was gasping now, sick and wet. Aaron spared him a quick look, and Neil followed his gaze. Objectively, it was a horror. There was blood everywhere. "Will he die?" Aaron asked. "Depends on how fast an ambulance can get here," Neil said dispassionately. "Here, move. Andrew." He didn't give Andrew a chance to protest, freeing one of his arms and wrapping it around his own neck so he could lift him. He was heavier than someone so short had any right to be, but Neil was still burning with adrenaline and aware that there was glass all over the floor. Andrew was barefoot. Drake had pulled his shoes off along with his pants. Andrew made a sickening noise in Neil's ear that made him regret it instantly, but he couldn't stay here in this room with Drake a second longer. There was another empty bedroom across the hall, with the hospital-cornered bed that Neil sat Andrew down on. Andrew didn't let go, though. His hand grabbed the back of Neil's neck, without a care for the way Neil gasped in pain. "Get out of my way," he said, forcing Neil down to his knees next to the bed. Behind him, there was the sound of Nikki gasping out, "Jesus fuck," as he fell through the door. Neil turned to look as much as he could in Andrew's grip and found Luther standing in the doorway, frozen in place. "Oh, Luther," Andrew said, all mock surprise. "It's so convenient that you came all the way up here. Did you look next door?"
"What did you do?" Luther asked.
His eyes seemed to take up his entire face, and they were damning.
"What did I do? That is funny.
I think a better question is, what did you do?" Andrew said.
"I told you. Do you believe me now? Or do you still think that I just don't know the meaning of real brotherly love? You're probably right. This is just another misunderstanding."
Aaron flinched in his spot at Andrew's side on the bed. Andrew's other hand was so tight on Aaron's wrist that he'd have a bracelet of bruises. He was still smiling.
"And speaking of, I seem to recall that you promised that Cass Spear wouldn't foster any more children, because a little birdie told me she had another 6 after me," Andrew went on, his demented smile firmly back in place.
"Luther, I think you're decent with numbers. You can figure out where you went wrong there. Just like you're probably figuring out right now exactly what you invited into your home."
"You killed him," Luther muttered.
"Is he dead? Neil didn't seem to think he'd bleed out quite so fast," Andrew responded. Neil could feel him swaying, so he put a hand to Andrew's chest to steady him. Andrew didn't look away from Luther at the touch.
"I didn't kill him anyway. Drake knows exactly how hard to hit me to get the upper hand. You know that bottle you promised me? Guess how I got this?"
He let go of Neil to gesture to his face.
"This isn't the first time," Aaron said, his voice trembling as he put it all together. "You knew about this, and you brought him here anyway."
Luther had nothing to say to that. Aaron, whose shivers had spread from his voice to his arms, where he was holding fast to Andrew, snarled at him to get out. Luther went and closed the door behind him. Andrew's laugh drowned out the sound of it shutting. It turned to choking as his body finally made itself heard, and Neil narrowly avoided being vomited on. Between the two of them, he and Aaron managed to keep him upright as he heaved and spat.
"Here," Neil said, hooking his finger into the cuff of the armband on Andrew's free arm.
Andrew blinked at him very slowly. "You think they might not think twice about you carrying knives when there's a guy with a stab wound out there?"
"Cleverer than you look," Andrew grated through his smile.
"Go on, then." He pulled one free, careful not to touch Andrew's skin to skin. Aaron, who was pulling the other one off, wasn't so careful. He paused with his fingers curled around the underside of Andrew's wrist, his brow furrowing.
"Let go of me," Andrew told him, "if you want to keep that hand."
"Andrew," Aaron attempted, but Andrew hushed him loudly instead. Neil took the band from Aaron, knowing that now wasn't the time to ask, bundling it up with the other and tossing them to Nikki. They caught him in the chest, but his hand came up quick enough to catch them. "Pocket," Neil said, pushing himself to his feet at last. Nikki took a long moment to react before he pushed them into the pocket of his hoodie. "Jesus Christ," he said, sounding like he was going to be sick himself. Neil didn't have time for that. He looked down at Aaron and commanded, "You need to go with him to the hospital." Aaron looked even tinier with his terrified expression and the way he huddled close to his twin. He stared back at Neil like he wasn't sure whether to say yes or no, as if Neil was giving him a choice. I can't, he stuttered, clearly waiting for Andrew to tell him to fuck off. There was no chance of that, looking at him. Andrew had gotten lost in his own head now that Luther was gone. It was better than the laughing, but not by much. I don't fucking care, Neil snarled, because he was losing his grip just as fast. At the edge of his hearing, he could make out sirens getting closer. Stay in here. He stopped at the top of the stairs to wait them out, pushing everything down deep so he didn't have to feel it right now. He was covered in Andrew and Drake's blood, his hands red, and his shirt spattered with it. He looked exactly like he'd stabbed someone in the chest. Handcuffs were familiar to Neil. It was just the first time he'd ever had them put on by an actual cop.